Your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 26. I'll be reading verses 24 through 32. And out of reverence to God, please stand as the word is read. Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 24. As he was saying these things in his defense, Festus exclaimed in a loud voice, "You are out of your mind, Paul. Too much study is driving you mad." But Paul replied, "I'm not out of my mind, most excellent Festus. On the contrary, I'm speaking words of truth and good judgment. For the king knows about these matters, and I can speak boldly to him. For I am convinced that none of these things has escaped his notice, since this was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe." Agrippa said to Paul, "Are you going to persuade me to become a Christian so easily?" "I wish before God," replied Paul, "that whether easily or with difficulty, not only you, but all who listen to me today might become as I am, except for these chains." The king, the governor, Bernice, and those sitting with them got up. When they had left, they talked with each other and said, "This man is not doing anything to deserve death or imprisonment." Agrippa said to Festus, "This man could have been released if he had not appealed to Caesar." You may be seated. Wednesday, we were looking at Paul's continuation of his defense he gave before Festus and Agrippa and Bernice and all the high ranking officials in Caesarea. That would be like all the generals of the Roman army that were there, all the political important people were there, hearing Paul give his defense. And he explained about how he had been a man that had been true to the Jewish faith. He had been part of the most strictly adherent to scripture group, the Pharisees, and he was even one that wanted to please God so much that he would go out with the direction and the permission and the commission by the high priest to go persecute people that were following Jesus as the Messiah. And on one of his missions that he had been commissioned to do, to go out, he had an encounter. A bright light came from heaven, brighter than the noonday sun. And a voice spoke to Paul in Aramaic. That's the language the Jewish people spoke in Israel. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And notice it used his Hebrew name, Saul, not his Roman name, Paul. Said, "It is hard to kick against the goads." Now, the goads are a little prod that you hit the backside of an ox to get it to go the direction you want it to go when you're plowing or when it's towing the wagon. Paul goes, "Who are you, Lord? You got my attention. You knocked me off my horse with your light. Who are you?" "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting." Now, Paul was heading to Damascus to persecute the Christians. Jesus says, "That's a persecution against me." And Jesus told Paul, "I got a mission for you. You are going to be my servant, and you're going to be my witness. You're going to tell people about what's happened to you and what's going to happen to you." Paul says, "I was obedient to that vision, and I started telling people." And that's what he was doing before Festus, before Agrippa, before Bernice, before all the generals of the Roman army that were there in Caesarea. And he was explaining. Well, Festus, having a Roman background, yes, I'm trying to move a little bit more. I've noticed that I've been sort of trying to keep the podium up, and so I'm trying to move a little bit more. It's just my heels are feeling a little bit better, but I'm still got one hand on the pulpit. Okay. Festus says, "You're out of your mind, Paul. You've been studying too much." Now, many students in school would like to use this as their verse. Too much study makes you mad and makes you crazy. So I don't want to be crazy, so I'm not going to study. Well, in the war between the states, the Civil War, a lot of people were injured on the battlefield because they were still using Napoleonic fighting methods. Methods that were suitable for having a sword and a spear. You would march in a straight line up to the enemy in a straight line and then whack each other with your sword. But in the Civil War, they had guns. They had cannons. So you're marching in a straight line and people are shooting you in that straight line. Well, a lot of people got injured. But most of the deaths were caused after the injury. Two-thirds of the deaths in the Civil War were due to infections. If you went into a field hospital during the Civil War, you would see a bunch of tables out, and the surgeon would be there doing things. He'd wipe his hands on his apron, go to the next person, wipe his hands on his apron a little bit, go over to this person. Blood everywhere, no washing hands in between, because they didn't understand. There was something called bacteria and viruses. Well, you can't see bacteria. You can't look and, there's bacteria there. You can't see a virus. It's even smaller than bacteria. There's a neat little microscope or picture I've seen of viruses attacking bacteria. And they're little bitty things. They're called bacteriophage. And it's a neat little, it looks like something from a science fiction movie, what they made the monster look like. Well, someone going around saying people are going to die from something you don't see, you're crazy. You're crazy. You're saying people get sick from things they can't see. I don't believe it. And that's the attitude of Festus. You just study too much. You're trying to get us to believe there's something so small that we can't see. And you want us to believe that's what's making us sick. And like in our video, it's not the witch doctors that are making us sick. It's the bacteria and the viruses. Well, Paul was saying, no, I'm speaking the truth. Because I've seen through a microscope. I've seen bacteria in that microscope. And you can do that with a regular microscope. Now, if you want to see a virus, you have to use an electron microscope. It lets you see even smaller. And so Paul is saying, I'm not crazy. I'm speaking the truth. I am not crazy. I'm just using good judgment because I've seen something you haven't, Festus. Agrippa, he will agree with me because none of this has escaped his attention. He knows all about the events about Jesus, about Christians, about Judaism, about the understanding of the resurrection of the dead. And to use our illustration, Agrippa's looked through a microscope before. So Paul asks Agrippa, Do you believe the prophets? Do you believe what the scripture says? Do you believe it? Now, Paul has put Agrippa into a difficult situation. King Agrippa needs to maintain control over Israel, as does Festus the governor. King Agrippa, if he says, no, I don't believe the prophets, that's going to put him in a bad position with the Jewish people. Imagine a preacher said, I don't believe the Bible. Well, Agrippa was in that situation. If he said, yes, I believe the prophets, Paul's just got through showing that the Old Testament, the law and the prophets point to Jesus as the Messiah. If he says, I believe the prophets, Paul would then say, that why don't you believe what they say about the Messiah? And if he says he believes the resurrection of the dead, all his Roman friends, all King Agrippa's Roman friends, are going to say, you're crazy, Agrippa. Nobody rises from the dead. We know when they die, they go to Hades, and they go over on the river Styx, and then some people push up, not the band. They push the rock up the hill. Some of them, if that's a punishment, there's punishments after death, but nobody comes back from the dead. Well, Agrippa, caught in a quandary, avoids answering the question. And he told Paul, do you expect me to be convinced to become a Christian that easily? Now, you got to remember what it meant, what Agrippa said then. Christian was not a compliment. It was a insult. You little Christ. So if someone was saying you're a little Christ, that was an insult at that time. Agrippa was asking Paul, do you want me to become part of this despised sect so easily? If I acknowledge I'm a Christian, then I'm going to be persecuted by all the Jewish people, just like you are right now. But Agrippa also confirmed what Paul was saying. He did not object to what Paul was saying about the truth of what Jesus being the promised Messiah, the Old Testament prophet, said, you want me to admit that I believe what you're saying. I'm just not going to make a commitment right now. Like a doctor in the time of the Civil War that understands bacteria is causing deaths, and it wasn't just in the Civil War. There were times when a doctor would be doing an autopsy and then he'd go deliver a baby without sanitizing his hands. Didn't realize the diseases in the dead body were transferred over to the child and the mother. Well, Agrippa was saying, I'm not going to make a commitment. You made valid arguments, but I'm more concerned about what other people think about me if I make a decision. And then he gets up and leaves. And then Festus, the governor, follows him. And Bernice, King Agrippa's sister and mistress, and all the Roman generals or high-ranking officers. And they get together and they start talking. This guy hasn't done anything that needs to be punished. He doesn't even need to be locked up. But he appealed to Caesar. So we can't do anything now. Well, what we see in our passage today is how other people respond. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." Festus thought Paul was crazy. Some people today, "You mean there's life after this life?" Yes. You're crazy if you believe that. But other people think, "Yeah, I believe there's something else. But I can't agree that it's Jesus Christ that I have to meet. There's going to be something else." Well, Festus was the one that totally rejected initial presentation that there's more life to come. Agrippa was the one, "Yeah, I acknowledge there's life to come, but I'm not ready to commit. I'm not ready to make this decision." Like our missionary we saw describing in the area of Mozambique, "If you offend the witch doctors, you're taking your life in your own hands." But realizing these witch doctors don't have power, God has the power. Agrippa wasn't ready to make that kind of decision. There are many people that when they commit to become a Christian, they're turning their back on the acceptance by their friends. Paul, when asked by Agrippa, "Do you expect me to become a Christian so easily?" Paul said, "I want everybody here to be just like I am, except for these chains. I want everyone else that's hearing my message to be with me for all eternity in heaven. I want everyone that hears my message," Paul says, "to have forgiveness of sins. I want everyone that's hearing my message to have the hope I have. You don't need these chains I've got." But Agrippa, whether it takes a short time or a long time, I want you to accept the message. Paul's focus is the same focus we should have. As we look at everybody, we should hope that everybody accepts the message of Jesus Christ. Because there's no hope of what comes next. This morning I was watching on the news, a playback of all who the news thought were important that have died this past year. Different actors, mainly actors, and mainly actors. But they had producers for their TV show and things like that. But all these that have gone on, we've seen many people we know that have gone on to what comes next. Those we know that have gone on, that have been members of our church, that have been Christians, we know they just got promoted. None of those actors, producers, or anything, was it mentioned where they are now? Because it didn't talk about whether they had faith in Jesus Christ, whether they had been forgiven their sin. So it was a list of names and we don't know where they are. We could give a list of names that are waiting for us in heaven. We're the ones that got left behind because we still have work to do. Paul still had work to do. He still had people to tell. This is his last time that he speaks on the soil of Israel, as far as we know, because he's about to get on a boat and head to Rome, never to come back. His farewell message to those in Israel: I want you to have the same hope I have. We need to be having the same focus. Everyone we talk to, I hope that person accepts the message of truth, so I will see them again in heaven. There's no goodbye for a Christian. It's just till I see you a little bit later. Stay with me for our closing prayer. We got a new year. I was just getting to the point I could write 2022 on a check. Now I've got to I got a whole year to finally get 2023 down. Well, let's start out this year telling people about the hope we have. Lord, thank you for giving us hope, not because of our ability, not because of anything we can do, but because of what you have done. You have brought forgiveness of our sin. You have brought us a future that will not end with you. And you have told us that you are with us every step of the way. Let us share that with others. In Jesus' name, amen.